Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 27, Text Number 24. Chapter entitled The Process of Deity Worship. Tayatma Bhutaya Pinde Vyapte Sampujya Tanmaya Avayar Shadishu Snapya Nyastangam Mam Prapyujayet Taya. By that form meditated upon. Atma Bhutaya. Conceived of according to one's own realization. Pinde. In the physical body. Vyapte. Which has become pervaded. Sampujya. Perfectly worshipping that form. Tatmaya. Surcharged by his presence. Avaya. Inviting. Archa Adishu. Within the various deities being worshipped. Stapya. Establishing him. Nyasta Angam. Having touched the deity's various limbs with the chanting of appropriate mantras. Mam. To me. Prapujayet. He should carry out all the details of worship. Translation by the servants of the Gurudev Srila Prabhupada. The devotee conceives of the super soul whose presence surcharges the devotee's body in the form corresponding to his realization. Thus the devotee worships the Lord to his full capacity and becomes fully absorbed in him. By touching the various limbs of the deity and chanting appropriate mantras, the devotee should invite the super soul to join the deity's form, and then the devotee should worship me. Purport. The body of a devotee is pervaded by the Supreme Lord just as a house is pervaded by the glow of a lamp. Just as one gestures in a friendly way to indicate that a guest should enter one's house, one touches the body of the deity, chants appropriate mantras, and enthusiastically invites the super soul to enter the form of the deity. Since both the deity and the super soul are the supreme personality of Godhead, they are not different. One form of the Lord can immediately become manifest in another. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurmitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Galadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this chapter, Uddhava begins by asking Krishna about the process of deity worship and also asking what are the qualifications of the devotees who are engaged in worshipping the deity. So as we understand that the Krishna facilitates the creation of this material world so that in order to basically facilitate the rebellious living entities' desire to enjoy separately from him. And also the creation takes place so that at the same time the living entities can be reclaimed to Krishna, back so that they come back to their original constitutional position. So it is described that whoever is in the material world is abnormally mad. So what is the madness? The madness is thinking that we don't have a relationship with Krishna, we are separate from Krishna and identifying with this material body. So this is the madness of the living entity. So Krishna is claiming the living entity back to the spiritual world through various ways. So Krishna accompanies the living entity as the super soul in the material world. So the super soul feature is only in the material world. And so that, because Krishna is our best friend, so Krishna accompanies us as a super soul in any and through all the species of life the living entity is going through. So whether the living entity is going is a worm or a cockroach or a human being or a fly or a butterfly or whatever. But the super soul is accompanying to guide the living entity. And Krishna reclaims the living entities by sending forth, sometimes Krishna comes himself or his various incarnations will appear. Or Krishna will send his dear most devotees, the acharyas, to write the scriptures, to propagate the process of devotional service. Or Krishna will send the revealed scriptures. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, the devotees will be sent. So these are the various ways through which Krishna tries to cure the madness of the living entity. So we understand the process of Krishna consciousness is about curing this madness. So this is like a mental illness. So like if you go to a psychiatrist is meant to cure mental illness. So a psychiatrist will give some prescription and to cure the madness of the patient. So similarly, Krishna is curing our madness by this process of Krishna consciousness, by this process of sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti is meant to revive our dormant Krishna consciousness. So this Krishna consciousness is revived by practicing this process of Krishna consciousness. So this is something which is natural within all of us. Our relationship with Krishna, it is within us, but it is covered. It is dormant. It is in a dormant stage. So by practicing, one can revive it. If it is not natural to us, then we cannot revive it by practice. The Prabhupada gives an example of, because walking is natural for us. Therefore, if we practice it, one can learn how to walk. So a child, parents will hold the child's hand and make it walk like that after 1 year. So because walking is natural for the child, it is natural for us. So similarly, this process of Krishna consciousness is also natural for us. But at this point of time, it is covered over. So by engaging in this process of sadhana bhakti, which is basically comprised of hearing, chanting and remembering and the other six processes of devotional service, one can revive one's dormant Krishna consciousness. So the primary means, as we understand, is hearing, chanting and remembering. And this process of Krishna consciousness all begins with hearing. So the function of the ear is actually to protect us. We can see the ear is the only sense organ which is active all the time. So even in the morning we wake up with the help of an alarm clock, or somebody else's alarm clock is going off. So we wake up like that. So even if one is in a comatose condition in which a snake has bitten one, so by the chanting of, before there were snake charmers, they could chant some mantras and they could actually revive the patient from that comatose condition. So similarly, by hearing about Krishna, we can actually revive our dormant Krishna consciousness. And when one hears, chants and remembers about Krishna, it is described that even Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukhdev Goswami that when he was bitten by the snake, when he was cursed to die after 7 days, so he asked Sukhdev Goswami, what is the best remedy for a person who is about to die? And Sukhdev Goswami said that the best remedy is to hear, chant and remember about the pastimes of Lord Hari, because by doing that, one will be fearless at the point of death. So we all have to die one day, and death is considered to be very fearful for those who are not Krishna conscious, because they don't know what's going to happen next, what's going to come. So everything is very uncertain. All the attachments are stripped apart, everything is being taken away, and they are not certain about the future. So, and fear, out of eating, sleeping, mating and fearing is considered to be the most prominent in conditioned life. Fear is the most prominent condition. So by hearing, chanting and remembering Krishna, one can become fearless, and ultimately become fearless at the time of death. So it is said that life is a preparation and death is the examination. So this short period we have of a few years, we should utilize that to immerse ourselves in hearing and chanting so that we can be fearless at the point of death. So as in this chapter, Krishna describes the process of deity worship. So the whole idea behind that is that we identify ourselves as the servant of Krishna. So if you look at the deities, they are actually made out of material elements, but actually they are not material elements. So if a mundane person looks at them, you know, they're basically comprised of stone, earth, maybe, you know, wood, paint, metal, different kinds of metal. So this is what the body of the Lord is composed of. But because everything is the energy of Krishna, so Krishna appears through his own energy so that we can see the Lord. Because in our conditioned state of existence, we cannot perceive the Lord with our material senses. So in order for us to see Krishna, Krishna appears through the material elements. Actually, it's all spiritual because it's all connected to Krishna. This is his energy, it's actually spiritual. But because we see it separate from Krishna, to us it is material. But Krishna comes through his energy and manifests himself so that to give us an opportunity to render service to him. You know, we can imagine, you can try to imagine a temple without deities. How will it be? It's like you walk in the door and, you know, like after Snan Yatra, Lord Jagannath falls sick and then he's taken upstairs in his room so he can recover. So, you know, Lord Jagannath's altar is empty. You come here and it feels so, you know, vacant. Something is missing. Though the picture of the Lord is there, but the deities are not there. So you can maybe imagine, like, there are no deities in the temple. And actually in many other faiths it is like that. Like if you go to the mosque, there are no deities. Or if you go to the Gurdwara, there's no deities, it's just empty. Then maybe there's a book in the center. Or in the church there is the Lord is there and Jesus Christ is there. So something is there. But generally in many faiths or if you go to the Bahaya temple, it's empty. They're doing silent meditation. So without the deities in the temple, actually there's no life. Because when the Lord appears so that we can render service unto the Lord. So just by the deity's presence, we get an opportunity to render so many different varieties of service. Like right from the morning, 3:50, the Lord wakes up and then the Lord has his milk sweet preparations. So then somebody has to cook that for the Lord. And somebody has to put it on the plate. Somebody has to offer it. So much service is created. Then we have to offer Mangalarti. Then the devotees are singing for the pleasure of the Lordships. Then there is Tulsi Puja. And then there's so much paraphernalia on the altar. That has to be washed, dried, and then put back on the altar. Then the Lord has to be bathed. And then they have to be dressed. In this way, this one temple is generating so much service. Then so many people are coming to do deliveries. And they are getting Agyata Sukriti because they are coming in the temple of the Lord. Even by they not knowing. Like the Lombards people come, they will drop the plates. So they are getting Agyata Sukriti for coming into the temple. And then so much prasad, bhoga is being offered to the Lord. And then that prasadam is being distributed to all the guests and all the Vaishnavas. So in this way, the Lord is giving us an opportunity to render devotional service. So it is said that even the great devotees of the Lord, they also worship the deity form of the Lord. We see all the acharyas and the Goswamis, they all have their personal deities. So like we can see Sanatan Goswami at Madan Mohan, Rupa Goswami, they all had their deities. So deity worship is not just for neophytes, but it is for even for the most advanced devotees. But the difference is that when they worship the Lord, they are convinced and they know that the deity form of the Lord is the Supreme Lord. There is no difference. But in the conditioned stage, we are thinking that the deity form of the Lord is the representation of the Lord. It's just like, for example, if you show somebody's picture, okay, we take Vishnu Vamsa Prabhu, and then we take a picture. So this is his picture. So this picture is his representation. So in the conditioned stage, we think that the Lord, the deity form, is the representation of Krishna. But in the advanced stage, they are actually convinced that they know that the deity form is the Supreme Lord. And therefore their worship is on a very, very personal level. So in the conditioned stage, that's why we have to follow the process of sadhana bhakti, where we can come to the mode of goodness and come to the understanding that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we are His servant. And therefore, we try to carry out the service in awe and reverence. Like we worship Radha Vallabha in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Because so that we can identify ourselves as their servant. And they are the master. So therefore, in the previous verses it was mentioned that one should offer the Lord very opulent items according to one's means. Because that will help us remember that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we are the Lord's servant. So therefore, like we see in Melbourne Temple, the standard is very, very opulent. 6 or 7 offerings in a day and 3-man aartis. So this is being continued year after year. And this actually helps us to remember that we are Krishna's servant. And no matter what service we are doing, whether it is in the altar on that platform or outside the temple or within the temple, whether we are cleaning the temple of the Lord or whether we are doing book distribution or Harinam or member services or whatever, it is actually all meant for the pleasure of the Lord. And deity worship is meant to remind us that we are the servant of the Lord. Or whether we are preparing the Sunday feast or cutting the vegetables or washing the pots, it is all for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. And so because we have the deities, so we should make the deities the center of our life. So and for householders, it is specially recommended to make the deities the center of their ashram. And that will actually help one to get off the bodily platform. It will actually sever one's ties for society, love and friendship by making the deities the center. So that means the Lord is the proprietor of the home, and whatever we are earning is for the pleasure of the Lord. And we have to use it in this service. And same for temple devotees. For temple devotees, we have the deities. We don't need to have our own deities. Because, you know, the temple deities are there and they are our Lord and we are their servant. So those devotees living in the ashram, they don't need to have their own, you know, like Shaligram Shila or their own deities, because the temple deities are there. And actually, Krishna is actually doing us a favor by allowing us to serve Him. It is not that, okay, you know, we are in the temple, we are doing Krishna a favor. I'm so qualified, I'm so educated, I have so many abilities, and, you know, I've joined the ashram or we are a congregation, and you're doing some service and that is helping the temple out, or that is doing a favor for Krishna. You know, Krishna needs pujaris. But actually, it's the other way around. Krishna is giving all the service as a favor to us. Because Krishna is actually not short of servants. Krishna is being served by millions of Lakshmis, millions of goddesses of fortune. And Krishna has millions of temples all over the universe and in the spiritual world. And so much service is being rendered. Actually, Krishna doesn't need a service. But Krishna is giving us this opportunity to render some service to Him and for our own purification. So we should see the service in that mood. So, and also we see when we serve the Lord, the Lord actually reciprocates. It's not that the deity is just a stone and, you know, we are worshipping and the Lord won't reciprocate. So when we serve the deities through our capacity, and the Lord will actually reciprocate. You can feel the reciprocation. And there's that pastime of Sakshi Gopal, in which there were these two brahmanas. There was one old brahmana and a young brahmana. So it is described that both were pure devotees, and they both went on pilgrimage, and they went to Vrindavan. And this young brahmana was serving the old brahmana because he wanted to please Krishna. So as Krishna says, if you serve my devotees, I'll be more pleased. So he served him so nicely that the old brahmana was very pleased. And he said, even my son does not, and son and relatives do not serve me like the way you are serving me. So I want to give you a benediction. So he said, I will give you my daughter in charity. So you can marry my daughter. And this old brahmana happened to be a very rich person from a very aristocratic family, very educated and very wealthy. And the young brahmana was the opposite of this. So he said, you know, he said, are you sure, you know, what you're saying? Because right now you're promising this, but when you go back home, your wife, your relatives, your son, everyone will go against you. Because generally, you know, a rich person and a poor person, they don't marry, generally, at least back in India, that used to be like that. So he said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm sure. And he actually pushed him. Yeah. He said, okay, then you make this promise before Gopal. And they said, he said, okay, fine. And he promised before the Supreme Personality of Godhead that I will give my daughter in charity to this young brahmana. And the Supreme Lord Gopal, he bore witness to this. And then they went back, he kept serving him. And so the young brahmana went back to his home in Vidyanagar, and after due course of time, the old brahmana was remembering his promise. So he called a meeting at his home, and then all the family members came, and he narrated the events. And as the young brahmana had predicted, they were extremely upset. He said, how can you promise that? You know, he's from a lower caste family and we are from a higher caste family. How did you do that? He said, now I've given my word and I have to stick to my religious principles. So his son was an atheist. And he said that, they all said, we will actually commit suicide if you give your daughter in charity to the young brahmana, because that is against the social custom. And so he was perplexed, what do I do? So they're going to commit suicide, or should I compromise my religious principles? What should I do? So the son of the old brahmana said, what you do, you simply say that I do not remember making this promise to you, to the young brahmana. So he said, fine. And then after some time, the young brahmana came and asked for the hand of his daughter. And he said, he kept silent. The old brahmana kept silent. And then his son came out of the room, came in the living room, and he actually chased him away with a stick. And then the young brahmana went to the marketplace and gathered everyone. And he said that, you know, this such and such person has promised me the hand of his daughter, but now he's refusing. So then the old brahmana was summoned there, and then all the villagers, and there was a panchayat, and they were basically, they asked him, you know, if you have promised something, why aren't you fulfilling your word? You're a brahmana. And he said, I do not remember making this promise. And then his son came, he said, actually what happened was that this young brahmana, out of greed, he gave the old brahmana some intoxicant and he ripped him of all his money, and then, you know, he would have maybe promised something like that. You know, he wasn't in his senses. So, but he said, actually, he said, this old brahmana promised me, he was persuading me to marry his daughter, and he actually made his promise in front of Lord Gopal. So the son's idea was, okay, you know, that's a deity, you know, it's just a stone. So how can a stone walk here? That is in Vrindavan, we are in a different country. So he said, okay, if you have made the promise to the deity, then you bring the deity here. And if the deity comes here, then we'll accept that. So this young Brahmana had so much faith. And he said, fine. And everyone was mimicking him and, you know, laughing, making jokes. How will the Lord come here? Okay, Lord is in Vrindavan. And he went there and he went to Gopal and said, you know, you were witness to this event and you please come with me to my hometown. And the Lord said, you know, I cannot come there. You know, I'm a deity. How can I walk there? He said, if you can talk, you can walk also. So then the Lord said, okay, fine. But there's one condition. I will walk behind you, and you will know I'm walking because you will be able to hear my ankle bells. But the moment you turn back and look at me, I will remain stationary and I won't take a step further. And every day you have to offer me 1 kilo of rice. And the young Brahman said, done deal. So they started walking towards Puri. And they're walking and walking. And every day he would offer 1 kilo of rice. And when he reached near his hometown, Vidyanagar, he thought, if I keep walking, the Lord will follow me to my home. And then no one will be able to see him. So he thought, now I'll turn around and look at Gopal. So he turned around, he looked at Gopal, and Gopal was smiling at him. And he remained stationary. And then he called everyone from the village. And everyone came and they were dumbstruck. And they saw Gopal, and then Gopal actually narrated. He bore witness, and then he was given the hand of the older Brahmana's daughter. So in this way, we can see that the Lord actually reciprocates according to the level of the devotion of the devotees. So even in our conditioned state, the Lord reciprocates to our service. And actually it's mentioned that deity worship, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, this is our internal affair, deity worship. And whereas Sankirtan is our external affair. So, because, you know, if you go on Swanson Street and you go with a deity, a small deity, and you ask people to offer obeisances, you know, and worship the Lord, and nobody will do that. Yesterday I was doing books and I stopped 3 Indian girls, and one of them was actually carrying a deity. They were carrying Gopal in their hand. And nobody around was offering obeisances. I also didn't offer there on the street, but you know, people were thinking, okay, this is a doll. So obviously she shouldn't be carrying like that. I don't know if she also knows that this is, because she's not a devotee, and I don't know what the level of understanding of deities is. But the point is, if you take deities out, generally people don't know what it is, what's happening. So the main process of advancement for Kali Yuga is the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And deity worship actually supports that. So this month of December is a very special month, because this is the Srila Prabhupada's marathon month, in which Srila Prabhupada emphasized the distribution of his literature so that people can become introduced to this process of sadhana bhakti. And so that they can also eventually one day come and render some service to the deities. So we see that because deity, to accept the Supreme Lord as a deity form requires a lot of faith. You know, it is actually accumulation of a lot of faith that we can accept the Supreme Lord as his deity form. Generally, at least for people who are not from India, it is very, very difficult to accept this, that the deity form is God. So we have to build up their Agyata Sukriti. So that is done by prasadam distribution, by chanting Hare Krishna in public, and by distribution of Srila Prabhupada's literature. So we all can see in our lives that the reason we are sitting here is because of Srila Prabhupada's books. Maybe some of us got the books directly, and that's how we became Krishna conscious. And for many of us, even if we got prasadam, or we heard the holy name, or some devotee invited us to the temple, but the reason we are sitting here and rendering service day after day is because we are convinced by reading Srila Prabhupada's books that this process of Krishna consciousness is genuine. So without Srila Prabhupada's books, this movement will have no foundation. Prabhupada said that books are the basis. In other words, that these books are the very foundation of this movement. There are so many other spiritual groups, but their foundation is very weak. They might have big temples, you know, huge properties, but they do not have such a backing of authority what we have in ISKCON. So we have this. So even if everything is gone, but we still have these books. So these books are actually our real assets. And Srila Prabhupada would derive a lot of transcendental pleasure when he would hear the scores of his book distribution, of his books being sold. And Srila Prabhupada would also encourage competition. So in the material world, competition is based on envy, and everyone wants to put the other person down. But in spiritual circle, competition is to inspire each other to render more service and distribute more books. So this is a very, if we want to become recognized by Krishna and by Srila Prabhupada, this is a very special month where we can go out of our comfort zone and distribute some of Srila Prabhupada's books. So if your congregation is living in suburbs, you can go to your local suburb, just go to the shopping center or the mall, and you can go there and distribute some books. Not everybody has to come in the city, because in the city there are devotees at every corner already. So if they are, you know, another 100 devotees, everyone will be fried. So people will be asked 100 times. So you can go to your local suburbs, because devotees are not, we haven't been out there for a long time. So you can go to your local suburbs and with this firm conviction that, and we actually have to be able to, we should beg Krishna so we can actually be able to see that how people are suffering in this material world. If we want to carry out this activity, we have to be able to see that people are actually suffering due to a lack of Krishna consciousness. And if we have that vision, then we can carry on this service. Because after a while, you know, when we do books, there is a lot of rejection. That is the nature of begging. You beg, a lot of people will say no. Out of 20 or 30 people, one might buy a book. Or people might abuse you, or people might swear at you. Like on Friday, I can't even remember how many times people swore at me. I was doing the same thing, but I don't know why. And one person also slammed a book on my face. So sometimes people do that. That is for our purification. But we have to be able to, we should pray to Krishna that we can see that people are suffering due to a lack of Krishna consciousness. And by giving them this literature, this is a remedy for all their problems in life. So people want to know three things when they approach a devotee, when you approach them. They want to know, who are you, what is this book, and what's in it for me. So if you can satisfy these questions in a few seconds, then your sale is done. So we should be able to tell them, okay, I'm a devotee, I'm from ISKCON, and this is Bhagavad Gita, and you can ask them, what are they doing, and you can relate the book to them. So if they're a student, they're studying psychology, you can say, this is all about the mind. It'll tell you how the mind works. Or if they're doing, like one person told me, he's a farmer. I said, this book talks about Varnashram Dharma, economics based on the land and the cow. So if people can relate to the book, they will be willing to pay the price. But if they cannot relate to the book, then the intelligence will say, you know, I don't need this. And they'll give it back. So we have to somehow pray to Krishna that we can relate this book to them, and so that they buy it and they can read it. And on the street, we don't have to give a Bhagavatam lecture. It's not a place to give a Bhagavatam lecture. So just keep it very short and sweet, and let Srila Prabhupada do the preaching. Let them buy a book. And Prabhupada said, even if they read one word, one shloka, you know, they'll get so much mercy. So I'll just stop here and see if there are any questions or comments or corrections. Santraj, Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon Ki.